Welcome to this ABC Radio National podcast. For more on other entertaining and informative programs, listen after the end for details. But right now, here's your podcast, which we hope you enjoy. And welcome to All in the Mind on ABC Radio National. Natasha Mitchell joining you. Great to have you on board. Every year in Las Vegas, an unusual gathering called the Amazing Meeting is held. It's become the annual celebration of the so-called Skeptics Movement, something of a faith gathering for the critically minded, if you like. Its founder is the magician, the Amazing Randy, who some Australians will remember from the famous Carlos hoax, which he orchestrated and televised with 60 Minutes in 1988.
The plane that brought Jose Alvarez, Carlos's channeler, and his manager, Jorge Grillet, to Sydney, also carried another important passenger, the skeptic and magician James Randi. You see, together with James Randi, 60 Minutes created Carlos.
I am an ascended master. I am a very old spirit.
Remember that first press conference hosted by our mystic?
First question.
Can you give us any idea of what this event might be?
It will be astronomical in nature.
It will be astronomical in nature.
While Carlos spoke to Sydney's assembled media, James Randi spoke to Carlos. He was concealed in the room next door and made less than spiritual contact with Jose Alvarez through high-tech radio equipment.
Next question.
And will this have worldwide implications?
Worldwide, of course.
In fact, there is no Carlos, nor was there one when we laid the seeds of this hoax in James Randi's hometown of Fort Lauderdale in Florida. Randi is known throughout the world for his crusade to debunk mystics. But in this case, we
well,
asked him to help...
Well, I've been to laboratories all over the world. Now, I'm not, as I say, a scientist. And my other book I'm coming out with, this is going to be called A Magician in the Laboratory. That's provocative enough, I think, just from the title. You know, what is a magician doing in the laboratory? But, you see, I have my expertise. I know how people are fooled, and I know how they fool themselves. And many times I've been in the laboratory, and I've found that that particular talent, though it's not an academic, I can't get a degree in how people fool themselves, or in magic, or in conjuring, for that matter, but it's a very valuable sense. Richard Feynman, the Nobel laureate, many years ago once told me, and Isaac Asimov, essentially the same thing, that my particular expertise should be given some sort of status in the educational system. I'm flattered by that, of course, but I think that people like myself who have this knowledge of how people fool themselves should be called in more frequently.
Illusion is James Randi's trade, and he's notorious for exposing the tricks of psychics, even offering $1 million to anyone who can demonstrate evidence of the paranormal or supernatural. But it's been over a decade since he made that challenge, and not a single soul has come close. Australian science communicator and searching skeptic Mike McRae was at this year's amazing meeting hosted by Randi. And today on All in the Mind, he's excavating the skeptical mind in the classroom and beyond. What does it mean to call yourself a skeptic?
You can't believe what a skeptic I am.
I'm skeptical. About what? Well, pretty much everything. Is there anything I do believe in, you might ask? That'd be a fair question if I were a cynic, a nihilist, or a solipsist. So what then is a skeptic? Skeptics have long been associated with doubt. The roots of the philosophy lie in ancient Greece, where the teachings of a school of philosophers, called the Skeptikoi, maintained that it was impossible to know anything with absolute certainty. This philosophical skepticism forms the core of today's scientific method. Over the past century, though, a more active form of skepticism has developed, with skeptic societies, clubs, and gatherings sprouting up across the world. They mostly focus on investigating paranormal and pseudoscientific claims with a critical mind, while promoting the benefits of thinking objectively, critically, and scientifically. Yet to many, skeptic remains a dirty word. Are skeptics really like their closed-minded and dogmatic stereotype? Or are they true free thinkers? James Randi.
I think that many people mistake the word skeptic for the word cynic. Cynical, skeptical seem to be rather the same word to them, and that's not correct at all, of course. A cynic is a much stronger term, and I think it is not what we mean when we say skeptic. We mean people who demand evidence and think that they should require evidence before forming up their beliefs. Now, science is the most skeptical art or discipline that I can imagine, because science always demands evidence, not just suggestions and not just hints or possibilities and such, although some scientists will tell you, they say, science doesn't discover facts. Science discovers laws or rules that seem to govern the universe, that seem to express how the world works. But discovering facts, that's too strong a statement for some of them. So again, we're in another semantic morass of the actual meaning of words. And many people mistake another fact, too. They think that dictionaries define words. They don't define words. They give common usage. So where are we? How do we know what we mean by words or should mean by words? It's a difficult art.
I'll come back to the conflict between, say, the words cynical and skeptical very shortly. However, I just want to pick up on your use of the term evidence there. Skeptics are known for being show me people, show me the evidence. Skepticism is quite right in suggesting that evidence is needed to make beliefs. Could it be, though, that people do believe that they use evidence, even if that evidence in itself was not weighed perhaps as a scientist or a skeptic or a critical thinker might? And that could be a sticking point for skeptics communicating with people.
Well, again, we've got definitions and usage for evidence. I've never even thought of the idea of how do I go about defining evidence? And then you've got the difference between evidence and hard evidence, and faith and blind faith. Now, many people say, oh, faith is not science. But a scientist has faith in the fact that the sun will probably rise tomorrow, and the sky will be blue if the clouds aren't there, and gravity still it will work tomorrow. It worked today. I remember I fell downstairs. So that's an expectation based upon, again, evidence, you see. Now, as a magician, it's an interesting parallel. As a magician, I know two things with a fair degree of certainty. A, how people are deceived. B, how they deceive themselves. And that's a very important factor. In fact, the more important of the two factors, in my estimation.
Magician and acclaimed skeptic, James Randi.
When Carrie, Tori, and Grant zap cockroaches with lethal radiation,
let's zap them.
They found that the creepy crawlies could out-survive humans after a nuclear blast.
They're still moving.
But to truly test the invincibility of the roach, they had one final trial.
All right, the next myth is you cannot drown a cockroach.
Supposedly, they can survive a long time underwater, much longer than a human.
That's the myth, but what's the plan?
Now, to test this, we're going to take five cockroaches and five little plastic containers.
Now all we gotta do is
just add water.
The hugely popular TV show MythBusters might not overtly describe itself as skeptical, but amidst the entertaining banter, the cockroaches and the explosions, the philosophy isn't hard to find. Adam Savage, with co-host and straight man Jamie Heineman, has had a long and distinguished career in the special effects industry. As with James Randi, he knows all too well what it takes for the human mind to be fooled.
Okay, guys, it's 30 minutes.
Okay, let's see if they went into some sort of hibernation survival mode.
They look pretty dead to me.
Maybe a little CPR can kickstart these cockroaches.
One of the best jobs I have had in the past 10 years before being a MythBuster was working as a special effects artisan at Industrial Light and Magic for the Star Wars movies. And when I first got up there, I was working next to a friend of mine who'd also just gotten up there, and he said, "Dude, you know what we are now that we're working at ILM?" I said, "What?" And he goes, "We're special effects wizards." Because, you know, they always refer to us as that in interviews. And there is very much the whole art of special effects is exactly the same kind of things that a magician is doing. They are grabbing your attention with one thing to keep your attention away from another thing. When I detail the side of a spaceship, I am placing some details to capture your eye to help you ignore that you might recognize other details from a model car kit. I'm using painting techniques to trick your eyes. That exercise in empathy, which really magic is, I mean, fooling people's senses is an exercise in putting yourself in their heads and figuring out what it would take to fool yourself. And this exercise is what I think leads one towards a skeptical view of the universe, because you realize that properly applied, even you can be fooled. In fact, magicians make some of the best audiences because they know how it's supposed to have been done. And when you foil that look, then they go completely haywire. So yeah, I absolutely think that portion of work in theater, work in animation, work in special effects and model making, all of that informed the way that I look at the world critically and in a desire to break it down and see, you know, ask what the bigger questions are.
Could that be a large key in how a lot of people become skeptical, is they have some life experience which shows that they have been tricked or they have been fooled by their senses in some way?
I wonder. It would be lovely if there was a simple formula with which you could give someone an aha moment, because I'm sure that every single skeptical scientist and atheist has a moment when they just concluded that things were this way and that wasn't a bad thing. That it wasn't a battle between one thing and the other. It was a simple conclusion based on empirical data. If there is such a formula, I'm searching for it.
Tomorrow arrives today, and
what in the heck is going on?
Oh, he's alive!
Wow. Yep. Look at that one's climbing up on the wall.
Number five is alive.
That one's alive. That one's alive.
They're all alive.
They're all alive.
They're like little zombies. They came back from the dead.
Go the cockroaches. And if I was pushed to admit it, I do think the MythBusters crew are thinking women's crumpets. There you have it. Adam Savage there from the TV show MythBusters. And there mightn't be a simple formula, but are some people simply born to be skeptical thinkers? That's the question Mike McRae is asking for us today on All in the Mind. You're with ABC Radio National, going global on Radio Australia and this podcast.
Right. So we're going to call this one confirmed.
I guess so.
Absolutely.
That is cool. And I don't feel bad because we didn't kill any cockroaches.
As social animals, we're deeply influenced by what others think. And throughout most of evolutionary history, with life balanced on a knife's edge, it's been dangerous to question what's worked for our ancestors. Myths have long been used to account for natural events we can't explain. Today's world affords us the luxury of challenging what's been taken as truth. But we do this with brains perhaps better suited to helping us survive wandering the land in small nomadic groups. Being skeptical simply might not be compatible with how our brains work. Dr. Martin Bridgestock is a senior lecturer in Griffith University School of Science. His university course on skepticism is surprisingly one of the few taught in Australia.
There was a course offered in skepticism at the University of Queensland, I believe, a few years ago, but that petered out. And there's a scattering of courses, probably about 10 or 15 at any one time in the United States. Why people don't offer it more, I don't know. I mean, universities, if you look at the mission statements of universities, many of them say that they want to induce in their students some kind of critical, analytical thinking capacity. And skepticism is one way of doing this because it combines critical and analytical thought with paranormal issues, which students are often interested in. So to me, that question is one which makes my mind complete blank. I enjoy the course so much that I don't regret bringing it on at all.
Now, when it comes to combating misbeliefs or misunderstandings, most people just offer a contrary answer, almost a form of correction. Is it possible to teach people to be skeptical simply by providing them with contrary views?
I understand from certain courses that have been run in America that, yes, that can work up to a point. That is, that if people think that something constitutes evidence per the paranormal and you produce an alternative explanation, you will affect some people's views. But there's a big catch with that. The catch is that nearly all students are young adults and they absolutely hate being told what to believe. So if you just come into the lecture theatre and you give opinion, 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 my explanation, there's going to be quite a lot of resentment. People are going to hate that. And after all, it's not really what a university is about. A university is about telling people how to think and how to think in better ways. So what I focus on much more is the tools of critical and skeptical thinking. I don't actually bother what people come out believing in the end. What I want them to do is to show that they can understand these valuable critical methods of thinking. And to give you a couple of examples of how it works, the second year we ever ran the course, back in 2004, the student who came top of the entire year was in fact an advocate of alternative medicine. He believed quite strongly that some alternative medicines were very valid. And this year, the student who's come top is in fact a devout Christian who actually believes that God created the universe. And that doesn't bother me at all, because both of these students demonstrated very clearly that they had mastered critical and analytical thinking. Their beliefs are their business. What's my business is whether they've actually mastered these methods of thinking.
Can you really compare the two, though, with, say, a student who believes that God created the universe, which is really not something you can approach in a skeptical sort of fashion, if you think. It's not like there's a for or against evidence, it's simply a faith, whereas using alternative medicine is something which is a little more evidence-based. So do you find that you have a lot more students coming out of the end who might retain certain religious or faith-based beliefs, whereas a lot of other students tend to criticize their evidence-based beliefs a little bit more?
You've quite astonished me with that question, Mike, because I've just been doing some research on what effect the course has on students' beliefs. As I say, influencing their beliefs is not what the course is about, but obviously I wanted to know whether it was happening. So I gave them before and after questionnaires, asking them what they believed in before the course and afterwards. And the effects are very dramatic. For some beliefs, such as extrasensory perception and clairvoyance, belief dropped like a stone. 20-30% fewer of them at the end believe than they did at the start.
Right.
Creation science, there was almost no difference. Basically the same percentage believed at the beginning and at the end. They are substantially different. My point is that I'm not out to tell them what to believe or to change their beliefs. That's not the primary purpose of what I'm doing. What I'm doing is to try to inculcate them certain methods of thought. And if at the end that student, that creationist student, says at the end of it, well, yes, I understand these methods, I've shown you how I can apply them, I can criticize the evidence for various paranormal beliefs, but nonetheless, as a matter of faith, I believe in one particular interpretation of the Bible, I have to say, fair enough.
Now, there are a lot of skeptics who might actually feel that skepticism and atheism are two things that go hand in hand. Do you follow that same philosophy?
Personally, no, I don't. My course does not deal with religion at all, except where the religious belief can be tested. For example, religious-based healing, the kind of faith healing. Creationism, where the creationists believe that there is scientific evidence which shows that God created the universe in 6 days, 10,000 years ago. But generally speaking, I don't at all criticize or comment on religious beliefs. I try to keep them out of the course. And that works both ways. I've had students in seminars take swipes at religious beliefs, and I immediately intervene and say, hey, no, we don't do that. And on the other hand, I've had students who have turned their seminars into basically forums for preaching their religious beliefs. And again, I've had to tell them, no, that's not what the course is about. So I stay clear of religion. My own view is, if you imagine a person with religious belief, okay, they believe in God, but they also can see that this universe does obey scientific laws. And in that case, there is nothing to stop them using the skeptical methods of thinking as a method for weeding out what's reliable and what's not in this world, regardless of their belief in another world. So I don't believe that the two necessarily go hand in hand, and it bothers me a little bit that so many skeptics do link them.
How important is it that communicators of skeptical thinking understand the psychology of learning?
It's certainly very valuable for them to do so, because if you have valuable ideas which the public could benefit from, but you don't know how to communicate them, you don't know how to get them across to people and bring them alive and get people to see their value, then pretty well you're going to be a very ineffective skeptic indeed. And I think one of the problems of skepticism is the problem of public image, the problem of communicating what we're actually about. I've been quite amazed in how many cases people have said things which basically say that skeptics are nothing more than closed-minded naysayers. All they do is doubt things. And I had a very bright postgrad student from another university send me an email yesterday in which she said, I am partway between a skeptic and a believer. Well, in my view, you can't be partway between a skeptic and a believer. Mm. A skeptic is somebody who believes if the evidence is sufficient to justify belief, and therefore a skeptic can be a believer. There's no middle ground.
While many people might show themselves to be critically minded, they mightn't describe themselves as skeptical. What, in your experience, does it take for somebody to nominate themselves as a skeptic?
I don't know. Clearly, skepticism is a subset of critical thinking. Skepticism is critical thinking applied to paranormal claims. I think that's the simplest way of defining it. Now, what, therefore, does it make for a person who is a critical thinker to regard themselves as a skeptic? Possibly it's a matter of interest. I could imagine critical thinkers about politics and critical thinkers about economics not having any interest in paranormal issues, and therefore they wouldn't identify themselves as being skeptics. So possibly what it is simply that skepticism is critical thinking plus an interest in and a concern for paranormal issues.
Now, with shows like Mythbusters and recent books like Myth Conceptions by our own Dr. Carl, it might be tempting to think that it's becoming popular to become skeptical. Is this a sign of a change in public attitude towards skepticism?
I've seen no sign whatsoever of a change in public attitudes towards skepticism. None whatever. And all the polls, there's a lot of polls in the United States, seem to show that there has been very little change indeed. We still have a situation in which something like 80% of the population subscribe to one or more paranormal beliefs. And it may perhaps be that there are some people who are becoming more outspoken, but I've seen no particular sign of a large-scale change at all, no.
Are you optimistic that there will be in the future?
We can always hope, but that's not really what I can do. As I say, I don't presume to tell my students what to believe. But what I'm hoping is that if we can get enough people to be capable of thinking critically and skeptically, so there are people in every workplace, in every school staff room, in every family, who know how to ask the right questions, who know how to talk about evidence and think about evidence, then that might possibly make a difference overall. That's really all I'm hoping for.
Dr. Martin Bridgestock from the School of Science at Griffith University.
There is no magic. There are no vampires. There are no werewolves.
Skeptics are familiar characters in movies or television shows. For example, where would The X-Files be without Scully balancing Mulder's desire to believe? Yet they're typically portrayed as closed-minded and naive, unwilling to accept what's obvious to all, and often dogmatically sticking to their preconceived notions of what the world should be like. We're led to believe it's a good thing to follow your heart over reason, and saying you know something to be true is far more appealing and far easier than saying something's false. Could this be the reason the word skeptic is avoided in shows like Mythbusters, which is clearly skeptical in nature? Presenter Adam Savage.
You know, it's funny. It occurs to me that the word skeptic doesn't appear on the show, not by any design. It just has never occurred to us. But now that you've reminded me of this, I'm going to go back on Monday morning and start saying skeptic on camera. Yeah, I do think skeptics movement has a negative public image. When I came down to the first amazing meeting with James Randi, my higher-ups at Discovery Channel were actually a little nervous and said, do you really want to throw your lot in with them? They have a kind of a negative reputation. And my thinking is, if that's a negative reputation, it's exactly the kind of reputation that I want. These guys are fighting absolutely the best kind of fight, and they're fighting it against, a good portion of the time, it's against ignorance, but a lot of the time, it's against active avarice and thievery. And that's the part that really gets me upset. Psychics and faith healers and ghost hunters, all of that crap.
The word skeptic means different things to different people. And as with atheism, many are shaking off its negative connotations to reclaim it as a positive philosophy. Skepticism is a process of evaluation. We live in a world where information is in no short supply, where Google and Wiki have become verbs. But not all information is useful. So what approach should self-described skeptics take without seeming arrogant? Aggressively combating popular misconceptions with corrections might have actually done more harm than good. Research indicates we have a tendency to misremember the context of the information we receive. And after all, 150 years of skeptics questioning the effectiveness of homeopathy hasn't dissuaded its believers. Perhaps skeptics should be concerned less with informing people what's incorrect in the world, and more with educating young people in critical thinking.
There is no God.
Well, the first problem we have in the United States is we're just coming out of a faith-based administration. Oh, what a notion. Faith-based administration. Almost a theocracy. Until we get a new administration in here, we've got to think about the basic problem. We've got to get back to education.
Magician and skeptic James Randi runs the James Randi Educational Foundation and is a founding fellow of the Committee for the Scientific Investigation of Claims of the Paranormal.
We have classrooms where kids are not allowed to be told that organisms evolved over time. and that if the word evolution is used, you've got to throw creationism at the same time, which is an absolute pseudoscience. It's a pleasant notion for the feeble-minded, in my estimation. I'm very angry about this situation here in the United States, so I would say the first stage we've got to go through is recovering. Let's move 20 years into the past and start again, because we have been plagued by this administration that has just stifled real education. Teachers, here right at this conference that you're attending right here, we've got a lot of teachers out there, and they've all come up to me, one after the other, saying, let's get straightened out again. The door has been closed in our faces. We're on an escalator, and we're going the wrong way. Education prepares you to observe how the real world works and deal with the real world and make it work for you. We called it the James Randi Educational Foundation because I am not an academic, so I don't make any pretensions of being a scientist. I believe I'm a logical thinker. As a matter of fact, I have an honorary degree, but it's a degree of humane letters, and I don't even know what the letters are. Maybe only A through B, I'm not sure. Nonetheless, I'm proud of the honorary degree, but we called it educational because that's our bottom line. Our purpose is to educate people, not by jamming it down their throats, but by making it entertaining, making it something that they're going to raise their eyebrows about and come over and want to take a closer look. You have very active skeptical communities in Australia, of course. Richard Saunders, for example, spoke today. I look upon Australians, in some ways, 20 years in the past compared to certain other parts of the world, but 30 years in the future in comparison to others. It's more or less a frontier country. It always has been, and maybe it always will be, and I think that's a healthy attitude. We've got a horizon to go beyond. We've almost lost that in America, I'm afraid. That's why I hope that Australia really adopts a good skeptical attitude. I've found it present when we did the Carlos hoax over there. I was in Copenhagen about 2.5 months ago, and a fellow ran through traffic. He came over and he says, "Hi, mate, I'm from Australia." I shook him by the hand and I said, "I doubt that because I'm a skeptic." And he laughed, thank goodness. And he remembered the Carlos thing that we did. And he said, "Oh, that was great. That was really great." And he really enjoyed it and he remembered it. Now, that is an important fact, that they remembered the Carlos hoax that we pulled on Australia, and that so many people were fooled by it for the moment, and then they learned and turned around and said, "Oh, wow, I can be fooled."
I have come to teach you.
First, just how easy is it to fool people? But even more importantly, how easy is it to fool the media into giving out essential free publicity?
Forever and ever and ever. So be it!
I can sit in a chair and I can say, "Well, they are very old," and I can change my voice. And they say, "His voice changed." Wow. My voice changes when I get a cold or I drink too much coffee.
Australia has a reputation for having the toughest interviewers anywhere. Could our phony mystic get past them and then go on to win himself a following? Or is he helping
himself? Carlos the phony mystic did gain quite a following in Australia in 1988.
Can't believe what a skeptic I am.
Nobody likes being told their way of thinking is flawed, or that their most cherished beliefs are based on myth and misconception. Add to that the fact that humans tend to like absolutes, true and false, believer and heretic, and it's easy to see why age-old cultural beliefs often win out over science's dispassionate, objective inquiry. Encouraging a society to be more critical is no easy task. If you ask me if it's possible, I have only one answer. I'm skeptical.
Science communicator and educator Mike McRae there with that feature on skeptical inquiry. So I'm interested to know, do you identify as a skeptic? Pop into the All in the Mind blog on the show's website and let me know. abc.net.au/rn/allinthemind, which is where you'll also find the transcript, downloadable audio and email address. I'm Natasha Mitchell, not a card-carrying member of the skeptics myself, but ever skeptical. Bye for now.
My name is Bruce.
I've got about 18 sets of seven dwarfs.
It's another crisp, clear night here on my street.
Every street has a story.
He's somewhat of a chatter to people in the neighbourhood. And
venture outside, and it sounds like there's a war going on.
It's not too late to tell us the story of your street. And you can be inspired by downloading or streaming Street Stories My Street Sampler from the Radio National website.